Well, good morning. We want to welcome you all to the first Sunday service of 2022. Actually got that right. I was mentally preparing for that because I've been saying 2020 all through 21. So this is going to be a bit of a jump for me. As we kind of have looked back at what the last year has been, actually what the last 2 years have been, it's been kind of a crazy 2 years. Like, mentally, I think I'm still kind of in 2019. Like, that's where I really am. And then we went through this 2020, 2021, and now we're ready for 2022. So I got a PowerPoint here that I'm going to get up, and I think my computer went to sleep. There we go. And so as I was sitting kind of thinking about what does this new year hold? What does it look like in 2022? I was asking myself, you know, are we ready for this? Are we ready for this next year? And it doesn't matter actually if we are ready for it or not. It's going to be coming. It's going to happen. And so the title of my message is Reflect and Grow. And we have to look back at the last 2 years. We got to look through like the good, the bad, the ugly, things that have happened that have been really hard to deal with. There's people here in our church that have lost family members. There's been, I think, relationships that have got, there's been tension in families. There's just been a lot of things that have happened in the last 2 years that if you would have asked us maybe 2 years prior to that, we'd have said, oh, no, I mean, like, it's not going to happen in our family. It's not going to happen in our church. And it's just created this kind of this mashup that's happened throughout the years. And one thing as followers of Christ, as Christian people, our message, the message of hope and eternal joy has not changed. That's one thing that does not change no matter what happens in the year, no matter what happens in the circumstances of our life. The message of eternal hope, the message of salvation does not change. And that's a message that stays consistent throughout there. So, I don't know. I kind of like memes. And so this is how we all entered into 2020. This is from the Lighthouse movie, and I thought this was really good. We all entered it full of anticipation, and then 2021 hit, you know, and we're looking like we aged like 90 years. And I think with 2022, how it's looking is, you know, when you get into a pool and you're not really sure if the water's cold or not, and you're kind of like just with your toe, you're just like checking it out a little bit. You're just saying, you know, is the water actually good or not? And I think that's what's happening here. And as Christians, I think we need to look at each year as this challenge, as this kind of a journey, an adventure that we're on, and we don't have to look back at it the previous year and say, oh man, that was just terrible, that was just, you know, kind of go back and forth in there, but we can actually have this hope that each new year has its own new challenges, new set of, it could have problems, we don't know what it's like, but we have to face it with the hope and anticipation that this home is not ours. This world's not ours, you know, like we actually, that song fit perfectly. I'm not home yet. You know, this is not where I belong. This is not all there is to it. And so we're going to dig into Lamentations. And I, after I picked out this verse here, I started thinking, you know what? You guys are going to really think that I'm a pastor that's kind of, you know, depressing a little bit, because we're going through Ecclesiastes, which is nothing but, you know, sadness and despair. And, you know, and I do like songs in minor tones too. So maybe that says a little bit more about me than anything. But Lamentations is kind of one of those books that, you know, it's crying. I mean, that's what Lamentations is. But we're gonna look at Lamentations 3, verse 40, and it says, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." And if you look at what that is saying, let us examine our ways and test them, let us return to the Lord. There is this, I think when we start to like reflect back, I thought about this a little bit. Like Matt has been playing football the last couple of years, and once you get into high school, they do a lot of film study. And so what happens is, like, when you play a team, you actually start to do some research on them. You start to look at their plays, you look at what they do, what their type of MO is. You know, some teams are running teams, some teams are passing teams, some teams they have a mixture of both in them. But you kind of reflect back, like after you've played a game, you kind of look back and say, okay, what do we do wrong? What are the things that we can improve on? What are the things that we can get better at? And you reflect back on that and you take notes and you start to build this game plan of how we can do better. And I think what happens a lot of time in our Christian life, or even just in our life in general, we don't stop and reflect on our life. So I want to ask this question a little bit. When's the last time that you just stopped and reflected back on your life? Let's say you took 30 minutes and just said, you know what, where am I at? Where am I at in life? How's my relationship doing? How's my relationship with God doing? And I think sometimes what can happen is, especially in this age of social media where we sometimes don't really see the real person, we kind of see this image of what people want to see, we feel this pressure that we're not maybe living up to this standard. You know, we'll see people that have, you know, I don't have their clothes, or I don't have their house or their money, or I don't have their fit body, or whatever that image is being portrayed as on social media. And we start to look at everyone's perfect life, and we get dissatisfied with who God created us to be. And God has created you to be you. He's created you as a unique person. He knows exactly who you are. He made you. And I think what he wants you to do is, like, he wants us to be in this continual state of growth. I think I've said this before. I used to work at this landscape company, and our motto was, or actually the company was called Green and Growing. And my boss would always tell us, he said, if you're not green and growing, you're dead and dying. There's no really in between with that. There's no just, you can't be in the middle. You can't just be like doing nothing. He said, you're either green or growing, or you're dead and dying. And I think that is really what our Christian life is about. We have to be green and growing. We have to be doing better. And so our verse today in Lamentations 3:40 is about examining our ways to test them and then returning to the Lord. So the historical context of this, Lamentations, they feel, was written by a man named Jeremiah. He was one of the major prophets. He was also known as the weeping prophet, and for no small reason, a lot of the things that he had to tell people were really harsh things. He told the kingdom of Judah that they were in this disarray. They had been taken over by their enemies. There were, you know, a lot of bad things were happening to them. And he would preach at them and said, you know what, guys, if you would just pay attention, if you would just come back to the Lord, you know, he's going to bless you. He's going to pull you out of the situation that you're in. And he would tell them this, and they would look at him and be like, you know what, dude, sorry, you know, we're not into that. And they would go back to, it says they went back to worshiping their idols. They went back to basically every commandment that God had given them, they broke in some shape or form. And so, and Jeremiah would get to the point where he's like pleading with these people. He's like, you know what, if you could just, you know, he look at, examine your ways, test them, see where you're going, and return to the Lord. We can fix a lot of problems. And if you look at Lamentations, it's a really unique book because it's actually considered Hebrew poetry. It's consisted of 5 different poems, and they're written in an acrostic form, where they start with each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's this really beautiful book, and it's mourning the fall of Jerusalem. It's mourning the fall of the kingdom of Judah. And if you look at Lamentations 1 and 2, it's the first 2 chapters, we can see that the narrative shifts, like what Jeremiah had been saying as a collective group. He said, you know, us as a people, you know, he's talking about the city, he's talking about us as a collective group, which he's talking about the kingdom of Judah. He switches to a more personal note when he gets into Lamentations 3, and he gets to a personal note where he says, you know, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath, and that's in the first part of Lamentations 3. And so we see the narrative shift, and we see it's a cry that's something personal. And when suffering happens, let's say you look at like the pandemic that's happened and suffering, most suffering happens on a personal level. Most suffering happens on a personal level. Like, we deal with things individually. And I don't know sometimes what you're going through, you don't know what I'm going through, but we deal with things on an individual level. And we see in chapter 3 that Jeremiah is feeling this kind of pain on this personal level. He said, you know what? As a kingdom, as a people group, you know, we need to stop and we need to reflect and we need to try to get back to returning to the Lord. So, you know, in life in general, you know, when's the last time, I mentioned this a little bit, when's the last time you stopped and just reflected on your life? You know, where is your life going? Maybe not just in the past year, but in your life in general. And if you have, do you like what you see? If you've stopped and looked at your life, do you like what you see? Are you okay with the person that you're becoming? And depending on your age, it's not the person you're becoming, but it's actually the person that you are. As I'm hitting, you know, I hit my 40s here the last 2 years, and now it's not as much the person that I'm becoming, but it's the person that I am. And am I okay with who I am becoming? And so if you look at the actual time frame here, it was about 556 BC, and in Lamentations here is when the Babylonian Empire had invaded and created a siege around the city of Jerusalem. And this was a really bad time. I mean, this siege was horrific. It was so bad at one point that the people inside were basically getting starved. What they would do is an invading army would come and seal off a city, and they wouldn't let people in and out, they wouldn't let food in and out, and you basically would starve to death until you surrendered. In fact, it got so bad in this siege that mothers were selling their kids for food. Like, that's the type of suffering and pain that was happening here. So if you want to talk about something that is just horrific happening, you know, that's the kind of depravity that was happening here. And in the midst of all this, in the midst of this pain and death, in the midst of all this chaos, we see Jeremiah writing here, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." And so, and I don't think the people of Judah got here overnight. I don't think it was just like a very quick thing that happened to them. I believe that it was repetitive failure that happened over a period of time where they would stop obeying God, they started setting up idols, and it started, I think, with a lack of self-examination. They didn't sit back and contemplate, am I on the correct path? Am I doing what I know I should be doing? And I think our current day scenario is not much different. In fact, I think it can be almost worse because there's a lot of things that distract us from just stopping and reevaluating and reflecting. And we miss out on the blessings God wants to impart on us if we don't stop and examine our ways. So what happens is there's a tendency to live out of reaction when we don't stop and reflect. And I want to give you a little bit of example of that. We live in a fairly fast-paced life. You know, things happen all the time. And when something happens to us, if we're always living in this continual state of tension, we start to react to things that happen and we fire off a quick email or we shoot off a text or we post on social media because something triggers us and we get upset about it. Instead of stopping and reflecting, okay, where that person is coming from? I wonder what's going on in their life. Why would they be saying that? And we don't stop and evaluate some of those things. Henry Nouwen, he's a world-famous author, he said, "We do well to spend 50% of our lives reflecting on the other 50% that is lived." So we do well to spend 50% of our lives reflecting on the other 50% that is lived. And I think that's a little bit unrealistic. We're probably not going to spend 50% of our life reflecting. It's maybe like a, but the principle is there. The principle is that we need to stop and reflect on our lives. Because This is a fact. By nature, we pull away from God. By nature, we pull away from God. Nobody just naturally gravitates towards God. That's not how the human person works. And by doing nothing, we don't get closer. And so this constant state of examination and reflection help us to evaluate, are we moving closer to God or are we moving away from Him? Are we pulling away from His love? Are we pulling away from His mercy? From His grace, His peace, His goodness? Or are we trying to get closer? When we stop and reflect, the answer is we'll return to the Lord. And Jeremiah is writing to a people that had gone their own way, and it was not the way of the Lord. They had done their own thing. And what is true for them, I believe, is true for us. Maybe not in the same type of level, but a lot of times we choose to go in the way that we feel is right. Your way or God's way? Which is better? So Jeremiah was tasked with calling this people and said, you know what? I want you to stop. I want you to evaluate and turn to God. And God shows up no matter what. God shows up no matter what. He can show up in the middle of a pandemic. He shows up in the middle of our messy lives. He shows up no matter where we're at. God is there in the darkness, shining a light, pointing us back to him. Now, as I was thinking through this, I was processing through this message. What happens a lot of times when we reflect, we can actually have two different responses to that. There's two different responses. Sometimes when people reflect back on, let's say, 2021, they'll look back on it with regret. They'll say, you know what, man, there was a lot of things I wish I'd have done differently. Maybe they made some bad financial decisions. Maybe they said some words to someone that they wish they could have taken back. Maybe they hurt some people, by what was said. And we look back with regret. But a Christian can, I think, look back, and he doesn't have to look back with regret, but he can look back with redemption. Because when you look back at something and say, you know what, how can I grow and do better? How can I look back and not just live with regret, but how can I live in this state of redemption? Because this is what regret is. Regret is a feeling of lost or missed opportunity. We're like, man, I just messed up there. I missed that opportunity. While redemption is being saved from something, like a sin, an evil, and it's working from a dark place to a better place. Redemption takes you from some place that's dark and brings you into a place that's light. And the difference between Christians and non-Christians is that Jesus is working in and on our redemption. He's working in that type of area. And God can use the worst for his good. You believe that God, you know, he can use our mistakes, and I'm going to get into this in a little bit, but God uses sometimes my colossal screw-ups, and he brings goodness out of that. He brings redemption out of that, and he does it all the time. And I'm not perfect, but he's always there trying to make me better, helping me learn from my mistakes, helping me grow in his grace. And so there are three important truths that we need to reflect on as Christians. And a little bit later in the message, we're going to actually pause a little bit. We're going to have this audience participation, not verbally or anything, but I want you to write some stuff down. So if you want to take some notes on this, you can. There are three important truths that we need to reflect on as Christians. And I think these are kind of staples when you're reflecting. One of them is God is always active in our lives. God is always active, and I can't remember, I think I put this into my notes. God is always active in our lives. Everything God is doing, everything we do, he's always there working in us. He works out his divine purposes in our human wanderings. And I started this challenge. It's reading the Bible through in 30 days. And I found a very time-consuming endeavor. But as I was reading through, I read through Genesis, I think, 1 through 42 yesterday. And reading the story of Abraham, and you want to talk about a guy, like you think of Abraham, he's like the father of the faithful. He's this just a man after God's own heart, this very righteous person. That dude messed up so many times. I mean, he did some boneheaded stuff, okay? Like he just did. You're like, man, Abraham, I'd like to smack you upside the head because, you know, he goes, in fact, when you're reading the Bible and you're reading it in chunks like that, you actually get a really good picture of how human people really are, of actually how human. Like Abraham would go and he'd go to this king, he'd go to this area and he would say, you know what, Sarah's not my wife, she's my sister, which was kind of true. It was kind of a half lie because he was half sister, because he didn't want this king to take his wife. He did this multiple times and got him into trouble every single time. And if you keep reading through the story, his son Jacob did the exact same thing. He just repeated that same thing. So, like, but God was working in the life of Abraham. He was still working in him. He was working through him to achieve his purposes. So God is always active in our life. In fact, the one big mistake that Abraham made was with Hagar and Ishmael. If you remember, you know, Abraham said, you know what, I'm too old to have a kid. And so him and Sarah got together and said, well, why don't you take my servant, Hagar, as your mistress or wife and have a child through her. And so he did, and it created some issues because Ishmael and then later on Abraham's son had a lot of conflict. But God used that. He worked through it. The other thing is, God knows how to bring out good out of our mistakes, and we've all made mistakes in 2021. I can assure you, I could probably go around and you guys could probably list the mistakes that you made in 2021. Whether it's family, relationships, where I place my values, some of the hills that I've died on in 2021, I look back and I'm thinking, boy, that was stupid. Joe, you weren't thinking through things there. But God knows how to bring the good out of our mistakes. Ephesians 1:11 says, "Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works," and I'm going to emphasize this, "who works all things after the counsel of his will." God is working all things after the counsel of his will. And that's a very sure promise that he's given to us. And then the last thing is, there is a new and better future available if we listen and reflect with the Holy Spirit. There's a new and better future available. So when we can go into a new year, we can go into 2022 with a hope that we have the Holy Spirit if we reflect and listen on the things that he teaches and tells us. Isaiah 43:19 says this, "I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now I want to bring out four areas of reflection that will help us grow in 2022. Because in order to grow, we have to actually stop and find ourselves. Have you ever pulled up like Google Maps and you're not sure exactly where you are in Google Maps? There's that little blinking blue light that kind of, or little dot that shows you where you are. Or if you ever gone to a mall and you're like, I'm not sure, it's a big mall and you're not sure where you're at, you find the sign and it says you are here, and that's way you can start to figure out where everything is. I think that's important in our spiritual life as well. Find out where we're at. You have to ask yourself some questions, and I wrote these down here. What has life drawn out of you? What is giving you life currently? What is making you passionate? What is getting you fired up about life? What do you want to stop doing? What are things in your life that you said, you know what, I need to stop doing those things because they're not helping my spiritual life? Or what do you want to start doing that's going to help you? Or what has impacted you the most this last year? What are some things that have really impacted you? So locate yourself and reflect on, how is my soul doing? How is my soul with God? Where's my relationship with God at? And once we stop and reflect on where we are, then we can start growing. Reflect and grow. So for this next part of the message, I want to prepare you for this. We're gonna pause a little bit, and I'm gonna bring up four different avenues where we can grow in our faith, where we can grow in our spirituality, what we can do. And I want you to take some of these, and I want you to just maybe jot down, if you don't have a pen and paper, maybe you have your phone, pull out your phone app or your notes app or something like that, and just set yourself a little reminder, because this stuff doesn't work unless we actually do it. Right? You know, we can hear it, we can process it and all that kind of stuff, but unless you actually say, you know what, I'm going to be actually doing this, it's not going to really help us. And once we're honest with where we're at, we can ask ourselves these four simple questions to move forward. How can we be intentional in our growth as a Christian? So let's dig into these questions here. So to reflect and grow, what are the spiritual disciplines you need to grow in your faith? What are the spiritual disciplines you need to grow in your faith? And what I did is, these are ones that I kind of, when I sat down and just reflected on this question, and I had some time to do it, so I sat down and these are some different areas that kind of popped up in my head. And this might look different for you. I don't know, you know, where you're at in life. I don't know where you're at spiritually. But so I think what you can do is just sit here and, you know, one of the things I thought of in my life, I could use some silence. I just could use some quietness. I love music. I listen to a lot of music. And sometimes it's just okay just with silence, just contemplative silence, just not having anything going on in your life. Another one was prayer. I've struggled sometimes with just having a really active prayer life. And I was like, this is something I want to invest in. One thing that's helped me more in prayer is I've started a reminder sheet. It's a reminder app on my phone where I'll put people's prayer requests in, and then it will trigger a reminder for me. because that way I remember to pray for people. And if I don't do that, a lot of times I just kind of, oh, look, okay, I'm going to pray, but who do I pray for? What should I be praying for? And this way I can look back and say, okay, I have this person in my phone, you know, my small group or my church or certain individuals that need prayer. Fasting, this is another one. Food, technology, social media. This is, I'm pretty sure a lot of us can relate to this. One thing that I'm using my reading through the Bible in 30 days is, instead of clicking on whatever social media I tend to click on, I click on the Bible at first and I read a chapter, because there's a lot of chapters to read. So if I know if I don't get through some of these, it's going to take me a really, really long time. So what are you going to fast from? Bible reading, we talked about this. I think Jake had this great idea of reading through the Bible, and I think that's fantastic. It's been a long time since I've just went and read through the Bible on a very consistent basis. And you'll never, I'm gonna tell you this, you'll never do wrong reading the Bible, no matter how you read it. If you read it all through in one time, if you do it over a year, if you do it over months, you know, you're never going to regret reading the Bible. It's something that's not going to happen. The other thing is I thought of confession, you know, when I'm messing up, let people know, tell people so that other people know that we struggle with the same things. There's some confession that it can have. Bible study, meditation, day journaling, worship, and rest. I guess that could kind of fit with silence a little bit, but rest is just like stopping and doing nothing. So what are the spiritual disciplines you need to grow in your faith? And like I said, these are ones that I just kind of is brainstorming with. There's probably others that you can think of to put down there. The next one is, what practices are you going to put in place to care for your physical body? Now, when I was thinking and processing through this, if your body's not right, if you're not mentally right, like if your mental capacity's not there, if your physical body's not feeling right, you're going to struggle with the rest of your life. Like it works together. I believe that everything is spiritual. I think our body's spiritual. We're this spiritual being. And so some of the things that I think we need to do is take care of, and this is not maybe setting up New Year's resolutions, whatever, but here's some ways that I thought of things that could help us out getting our bodies right. A diet plan. Maybe, you know, we struggle with eating. A fun one is vacation. Sometimes you just need to get away. Just relax. Sunday rest. What does your Sundays look like? Are they a time when you can just, you know, worship God, when you can relax, when you can have this moment of rest? What type of exercise do you want? Some mental pauses. Once again here, you know, our life is such go, 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 go. We don't have a lot of time to just sit and stop and think. Don't feed on negativity. This is another one that I think can really, especially if you're my personality, I can feed on negativity and I can kind of get depressed about it. Whether it's the news, whether it's, you know, just listening to other people's problems, I'm finally like, man, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. You know, it's just not good. And it can drag me down. And I have to be consciously thinking, okay, what is my mind? Where am I keeping my mind? If it's centered on God, if it's centered on positive things. Positive reinforcements. So what practices are you going to put in place to care for your physical body? The next one is, what relationships are you going to pursue to support you on your spiritual journey? What relationships are you going to pursue to support you on your spiritual journey? And this, for people that kind of fix their own problems, and I'm talking probably more to guys here, this one here is probably the tough one to kind of wrap our minds around. Like, ladies feel like, I think they're a little bit more in tune with some of these things because they can be a little bit more personal, relationship-wise. But guys kind of, they'll shy away from some of this. And I think there some of these instances, they're there for a reason. You know, maybe you have talked about maybe going to a counselor or marriage therapist. Some of it's joining a small group so you can have a collective group of like-minded fellow Christians with you. Maybe you've always thought of taking this theology course to learn to know the Bible better. I want to understand the Bible. I think Gospel Haven right now is doing they're going to be doing a course on Hebrew. You know, maybe this is that time to kind of push you out of your comfort zone, push you a little bit more. Engage in a Bible study group. I had a lady messaged me, doesn't go to our church, and she said, hey, I'm looking for a Bible study group that really digs into the Bible. She goes, do you know of any that I could attend? And it just started getting me thinking, you know, like, do we have that? Do we have it where we can really dig into the Bible through a Bible study group? Find a mentor. Find someone you can kind of help you along through life. Find a coach, kind of the same thing. Maybe find like-minded friends who want to help you grow. If you guys have somebody who's of the same mindset, you know, it's that's what a church is, that's what small group is, trying to find those like-minded individuals. So what relationships are you going to pursue to support your spiritual journey? And there can be many more. This is not an exhaustive list. I'm just kind of thinking about that. Because if you're married, you know, marriage therapist and marriage therapy, it's not bad. You're probably one of the most important aspects of your life, you know, once you've committed to marriage, you know. But like a lot of times we don't really kind of get any help with that, or your personal life as well with a counselor. So what relationship are you going to pursue to support you on your spiritual journey? The next one is, what are the gifts, passions, and burdens God has laid on your heart? In 2022, what are some of the passions, what are some of the gifts, what are the burdens that God has put in your heart? What does he want you to do? What is that what's going to get you up in the morning? And here again, I put some, you know, maybe volunteer for a work project, be a mentor to someone. Maybe God's called you into the mentorship role. Volunteer in church, praise and worship, Sunday school teacher. There's a bunch of different things that can go in there. Maybe you're called to the mission field. Maybe God has a plan for you to be a missionary. Go for coffee with a friend, take a meal to someone, volunteer to a nonprofit. I don't know what your passions, giftings, and burdens are that God has laid in your heart. You know, you have to fill that in there. These are some of the things that kind of came up in my mind. But as we look at these four things, one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves is this gift of self-reflection. Where are we going? What are we doing with our life? And I think it's important. And there's a couple verses that come before verse 40 in Lamentations that Jeremiah talks about God's love and mercy. And I'm going to end with this. And I want to say this kind of as a prayer over our church, because I think it's very important how Jeremiah viewed who God was. He didn't view him as someone that was just like punishing them for doing this and that. God was trying to correct his people. He was trying to correct the tribe of Judah here. But God wasn't all about just like trying to see them suffer. He didn't want to see them in pain. He didn't want to see them hurting. But what he wanted them to do is say, look, where were you going? What path were you on? Is your life leading a path of righteousness? Is it a path of holiness? Were you actually obeying the commandments I gave you? And so I want you to, if you have your Bibles, actually I'll pull this up. I think I put it in my slide. Lamentations 3, 22 through 26. And this is just a beautiful picture of God's love and mercy over us. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So I want to leave that with you today. You know, if you want to go and stop and pause on one thing before you head into 2022, which we are in it already, but before you maybe like chart your path or chart your course, stop and reflect on where your life is. How are you going to grow this new year? Let's stand for prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for your written word. Thank you for the examples that we have with the book of Lamentations, that we can look back at the tribe of Judah and we see and we shake our heads sometimes at the mistakes they made, dear God, but they're not different than we are. And help us to just reflect on you, reflect on your Holy Spirit. Help it to guide us in the path of truth. If maybe somebody here has taken a wrong path. Maybe we're not sure the path that we're on. Maybe we need that counselor, that guide, that mentor to help us reevaluate who we are. And dear God, if you can just guide us in this new year, guide us in 2022. Your paths are perfect, they're straight, they're true. And we know that anything from you is truth and honesty, dear God. So we just want to pray for our church here as we embark on this new year. May we be a witness and a light to a lost and dying world. Our hope doesn't change no matter this. Our message does not change no matter what the circumstances are. Our hope is in you. And let's remember that this is not our home. This is not where we're ending up, but in eternity in heaven with you. So we just want to pray a blessing over our church. Dear God, bless this church. Give people the power and grace that you have called them to in whatever area of life that they're in. We ask this all in your name. Amen.